Hello, Northumberland County. This is Reality Realty Northumberland, 89.7 FM's real estate talk show. I'm Dale Bryant, and I'm an active real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage. And Reality Realty is your real estate forum, your local real estate forum, where we take on, we talk about, and we interview guests on all things real estate with a direct focus on Northumberland County and the communities within it. I'd like to thank the sponsor of our show, Royal LePage. And if you think you could benefit from out-of-this-world service beyond your expectations, talk to a realtor from your independently owned and operated Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage. Royal LePage believes in informing you, the listener, to better equip you to make smart real estate decisions. And they sponsor Reality Realty, helping to make this show possible. Joining us this morning is my guest, is my wife, is my guest co-host, Carol Ann Bryant. Carol Ann is a mortgage broker with the Broker Financial Group. Good morning, Carol Ann.
Good morning, Mr. Bryant.
Good morning, Mrs. Bryant. Thanks for joining me again.
You're very welcome. This is a little bit different. I'm an actual guest co-host and not
a guest.
A guest, yeah. So we'll see how this goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it later. We'll analyze the a summary of how the show went and see if you're willing to do it again.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's good. Well, Carolyn, we have a few items we're going to be talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about today is just some things that have crossed my path over the last week or two, and I think they're worth talking about. We're going to take a look at visual marketing of your home. So, basically the pictures in a nutshell,
mm-hmm.
and some key points about that. And then we're going to look at where are you getting your real estate advice? Where are you getting that advice?
Interesting.
Yes, and it's not always from the most recommended sources. We will do a snapshot of today's residential real estate market. And, Caroline, you put together points to ponder for us, so thank you. And we'll do that as well. So first things first, let's take a look at snapshot. That's a look at today's residential real estate market right here in Northumberland County. It's not one of those real estate data reports that is Toronto or Montreal, some of the big centers, Vancouver, that has nothing to do with us. This is local. Over the past month, we have had 56 residential listings sold here in our community, and that leaves us with an inventory of 278 listings. The average listing price of residential real estate that's successfully sold over the past 12 months has been approximately $311,000. Now, the average selling price of those successful sales over the past 12 months is approximately $302,000. So, as most weeks, we report on average, the successful sellers have sold for approximately 97% of their asking price in a market time of 69 days. So if we want to take a look at the absorption rate to find out if we're in a buyer's market, a seller's market, or a balanced market, we would notice that we are at a 20% absorption rate. That is traditionally considered a balanced market. Each and every week, I research these Northumberland County statistics and calculate the absorption rate using information from the realtor component of the MLS system. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home, you'll want this kind of information to be area specific within our county, specific to the property type you're dealing with and the price band it's in. Talk to your local realtor to understand the Northumberland market information that's most relevant to you. Today's mortgage rates come to us from my co-host today, Carol Ann Bryant, mortgage broker with the Broker Financial Group, and the rates remain the same. You can get a five-year fixed rate as low as 2.59%, and a five-year variable rate as low as 2.15%. And some conditions do apply, as always, don't they, Caroline?
That is correct.
Well, thank you for those rates.
You're welcome.
So that is your snapshot of today's residential real estate market in our county. Now for Reality Realty's points to ponder with...
Yeah, drum roll, please. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, I wanted to touch on something that's called the five C's of credit. So for most people, buying a property is a pretty daunting task in itself. Mm-hmm. And securing the mortgage can be part of that daunting task. And so what factors are taken into consideration by lenders and underwriters? And underwriters are the people that receive the application, and they take a look at all components of it to determine whether it's going to actually be approved. And so credit is obviously a major part of that equation. But what exactly goes into deciding credit worthiness? What most Canadians aren't aware of is that credit is not just a score or an ability to make payments on time. Credit is actually composed of a few different categories known as the five C's of credit. So what are they? They are credit, capacity, capital, character, and collateral. And so credit shows the lender a snapshot of what the borrower's repayment history has been over a period of time. This is the only way a lender can predict the borrower's propensity to make future payments. The credit score, also called credit history, credit report, credit rating, maybe you've heard Beacon score, is the primary measurement factor. Capacity is the ability to repay loans. This is arguably the most critical of the five C's of credit that lenders look at: debt service ratios. So you have your total debt service and your gross debt service ratios, as well as payment history, in order to assess a borrower's capacity or ability to repay a loan. Capital is the amount of money that borrowers have invested in the property, so otherwise known as your down payment. Lenders want to see how much you are invested in the property before making a decision. So obviously, the more money you have as a down payment, the less of a risk you are to that lender. The less money you have could be looked at by a lender as, you know, not much of a risk for you to just walk away from your home if you can't make your payments. And character can be described as a borrower's general trustworthiness to repay loans. So what do they look at? They look at factors such as length of employment, in addition to the borrower's ability to save and utilize credit responsibly. And that all helps to establish character. And finally, collateral can be thought as additional security provided to the lender. So that generally is the subject property itself, the home that you're buying. So they take a look at its value, its location, and characteristics that can be thought of as security. But collateral can also include outside parties who will guarantee the loan. So sometimes with first-time home buyers, you know, they haven't had a long history of credit. Maybe they've just finished school and they're starting their job. So sometimes parents will become guarantors or co-signers for them. And they can also be referred to as covenant partners. So the goal is to get a yes for your deal with a lender. And the five C's of credit we've just talked about determine a borrower's ability and willingness to make payments. So understanding what a lender is looking for allows you to set yourself up to put your best foot forward.
And that seems like an awful lot of information that the lender is looking at. And you said the underwriter for that lender does that. You do a little, as a mortgage broker or even a mortgage agent, you do a little bit of preliminary underwriting, don't
you?
Well,
yes, because obviously my goal is to make sure my client gets an approval. So I take a look at all of that ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't look like it's going to work, then I will... try and find a creative way to make it work sometimes. maybe with a guarantor, for instance.
Yeah, with a guarantor.
Or maybe some debts can be paid off to make ratios. So there are some creative things you can do.
Or finding the lender that accepts
different criteria.
Yes, there
are some
lenders
that will, yes, look at things differently, absolutely.
Well, that's a good point to ponder, Caroline. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed by me, co-hosts, guests of the show, or any of the articles presented do not represent the views and opinions of the station, of the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors, of any real estate brokerage, or of any other realtor. They're simply our views and opinions at this time. So, Carol Ann, the first thing we're going to look at this morning and talk about is visual marketing. Marketing a house that, you know, you bring in, well, you either bring in a photographer or you do it yourself, and the different ways we handle that whole visual marketing aspect. The first thing I wanted to look at, and I wanted to look at it because I received an email from CREA, Canadian Real Estate Association, and highlighted in this was an article on virtual home staging. Hmm. Have you heard much about virtual home staging?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, anyone in the real estate industry with some experience in home staging realizes how valuable home staging can be. Now, there's different degrees of home staging. There's going in and working with what you have. There's going in and redesigning a room or two. And then there's also the aspect, if you have a vacant home or right. vacant room, of bringing in furnishings, bringing in accessories, bringing in artwork. And quite often that requires renting the furnishings mm-hmm. and articles for a minimum of a month. So this virtual home staging, I thought, was very interesting. I've heard of it before, although it's relatively new. And why I find this interesting is because when you think about it, what it is, somebody goes in and takes pictures of the rooms of this home, and these are empty rooms, and then they go back to their computers and they add in furniture, they add in artwork, and instead of renting it and having it physically there, they're putting it in on their computer. Now, the reason it seems odd is because there's a fine line of going too far with this. You can get into saying, you know, wouldn't this room look better if the walls were a different color? Or this room would really look good now that I have the furniture in it if we had some hardwood flooring mm-hmm. or added a window. I mean, or maybe you have a nice walkout, glass walkout doors from this family room, looking into the backyard, and you look in the backyard and the real picture has some dead grass in it, and maybe it's fall and the leaves are not on the tree, so you start to landscape
right.
the home. Well, that's when you've crossed the line, because now you've changed something that people are actually buying, and that is the color of the walls, the flooring, the landscaping outside. Whereas if you just stick to the furnishings and accessories, you're not crossing that line.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on this?
Well, yes, I can see how you could get carried away, you know, trying to make this look like an appealing place for somebody to buy. And then, you know, you have to be careful not to mislead people. So when they come to see the property, they, you know, are looking around and saying, wait a minute, where are those bushes that were in the backyard? Where, you know, these walls mm-hmm. are a completely different color. So, yeah, you need to be careful with that.
Yeah, you get into the making of a lawsuit. What is that show we're watching recently? Making a Murderer?
Yes.
So this would be a different show. This would be
making
of a real estate lawsuit yeah. if you go too far. Now, the neat thing about staging, it certainly can change the entire look of a home. And it gives people an idea of how the space could potentially be used.
Yeah, I think most people maybe struggle with when they walk into a space, you know, how to set it up. And so you're creating this feel. Once again, you want people to walk in and say, this is a nice place. This is a comfortable place to live. I can see my family living here, and it will work well. So you're sort of creating that scenario for them.
Absolutely. And do you remember the last place that I listed that was completely vacant?
Right, yeah.
And did you see that before and after the staging?
No, I don't. Yes, I did, because I think I went with you. You had to do some measurements, so I was your assistant for the measurements. And
I mean, what a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was actually physically staged.
Yes.
We rented furniture. Now, we only rented furniture for a month. Pardon me. That enabled us to get the pictures taken with the mm-hmm. furniture, and we sold it well within that month's period of time. But how would you describe that transformation?
Well, it definitely felt like a home then. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm thinking specifically of the family room. Beautiful fireplace. When I walked into the room when it was vacant, obviously, you know, you could see the lovely hardwood flooring, the beautiful fireplace. And then afterwards, you walk in and the feel of the room is different too, right? There's no echoing because there's furniture in there. It feels warmer. And then you can actually start to think of how you would use that room as a family.
Yeah, and that family room in particular you're talking about, as many family rooms, there were support beams.
Right.
I mean, they were nicely finished and drywalled, but you look at that before the staging and you wonder, how would I set up furniture?
Exactly,
here?
Yeah.
And it just shows people what that place can look like if it's finished,
mm-hmm.
if it's furnished.
I think it also gives people an idea too, if you're moving and you can look at it and say, okay, I can see how this can be set up. Our existing furniture we have is not going to work. We're either going to have to replace it or figure out something else to do.
And that has to be put into the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So with this virtual staging versus traditional staging, bringing in furniture, there's less of a cost involved in doing it virtually.
Right.
There's still a cost factor, but it's less. But on the downside, you don't have the furnishing in place when you're showing the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it might gain in popularity. I think it might gain in popularity for people trying to cut some corners.
It just gives people another option, homeowners another option if they're against the actual physical furniture rented coming into their home.
Mm-hmm.
It's another option.
Okay, talking about another visual marketing mm-hmm. faux pas. I met with a very prominent professional photographer in our area this week. We weren't talking about real estate photography, but it turned into that. And
mm-hmm.
And this photographer actually was complimenting me on one of my listings on the photography that was in it. And I found out that this photographer really gets a kick out of looking at some of the what they would consider really bad real estate.
They're out there, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really bad real estate photography. I mean, one of the favorites that we see every now and again is somebody, and this photographer mentioned this as well. The first thing that this photographer mentioned was, you're taking a picture of a room, maybe a family room, a
right.
living room, dining room, and there's a door there into a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the door is left open, and just the way the picture gets taken sometimes, there's the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking a picture of the dining room maybe or the living room, but you're what's front and center in the picture, and it's the toilet.
Right.
And that was just one of the oddities that this photographer is amused by every now and again. Anyways, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the odd things that can happen in real estate photography. You've been listening to Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. Join us after this break, and we'll continue to talk about real estate visual marketing. Welcome back. This is Northumberland 89.7 FM's Reality Realty with Dale Bryant, and my co-host today, my guest co-host, is my wife, my beautiful bride, Carol Ann Bryant. Carol Ann is a mortgage broker with the Broker Financial Group. How do you like it when I introduce you like that?
Bride is a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
Yes, because we just celebrated our 31st anniversary this week.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Hard yeah. not to forget when it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah. It's memorable.
So yeah. we're 31 years, 2 days.
Yeah. So bride is a bit loving. Of a stretch. Okay. Bit of a stretch, but.
All right. I thought it was bonus point stuff, but yeah, okay.
You keep going on. That's fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were talking about before the break about meeting I had with this particular photographer,
right.
and they were talking about sometimes you can run into some really bad photography. Mm-hmm. This photographer was talking also about, made mention about sometimes some realtors will try to turn a real estate picture into say a glamour shot by, I don't know what they do, what the name of the pro effect is, but a hazed or a faded effect. And,
right.
And this particular photographer said, you know, a good picture has nice crisp lines.
Yes.
And good coloring. And people want to see the details when they're thinking about dropping all that money.
Mm-hmm.
Crooked pictures.
Yeah.
We talked about that. I mean, nobody's going to get in trouble by going back to your computer and just straightening out the horizon line.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how that gets out there in the first place, the crooked picture.
Yeah.
But
how about the body parts? And I'm not meaning dismembered body parts. the body parts, the half of a person or
yeah.
a limb of a person that stays yeah. in the picture. I mean, that can be cropped out too. And there's no offense there either.
No, we have certainly amused ourselves on a couple occasions by, and I think you're going to talk about it, the site that has bad real estate photos. I don't think we've ever laughed so hard the one night we came across that site. It's quite shocking as to what gets put out there, and it makes me wonder, are the homeowners not looking at these pictures afterwards? And if they are, why did they think it was okay?
Yeah, exactly. And there's enough funny, bad photography, real estate photography out there that there's actually websites
yes.
full of them, and new pictures arrive regularly. And there's more than just one website. One here I copied down just yesterday. It's www.terriblerealestateagentphotos.com. So if you have 5-10 minutes or even a half an hour that you want to entertain yourself, especially some of those, Carol Ann, they had really good little comments on the picture
yes.
too.
Yeah.
Which just added that element of humor to it, because mm-hmm. it would be a perspective that they come across with, that you're looking at this picture. And
right.
so hilarious. The other thing maybe worth mentioning that this photographer was talking about was when we're only allowed so many pictures. There's only room for so many pictures on a listing. And some realtors decide, they see maybe a beautiful antique roll top desk mm-hmm. in the hall. And they do a close-up of that roll-top desk. Well, it's not included in the house.
Right.
I mean, they take it so close that you don't even see a full wall or a corner of the house. I mean, this is not Kijiji. They're not selling the desk.
Yes.
So this photographer was saying to me, what are you guys even thinking?
Yes, okay.
Yeah, and
but to be fair,
mm-hmm.
sometimes there are homes that are a bit challenging to present in a good light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, credit goes to those who can present the best light of those homes.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that's why the viewing is important as well.
Yes, obviously. You need to take those pictures with a grain of salt, I think. You have to physically see it for yourself. So again, you don't want to be too misleading in those photos.
No, because then it's a complete...
A letdown.
Yeah, well, it's a complete waste of everybody's time. Yeah. I mean, I want my photographer to take the very best angles and the very best pictures that my photographer can take, but not go back to the computer and you know, put it on Photoshop and make it something it isn't. Crop it a bit, straighten the horizon line if you need to, but let's just see the house for what it is. I mean, you start to tamper any more than that, and people come in, and they're going to say, this isn't the house I saw online.
Yes, especially if in the pictures the rooms look larger than what they actually are.
Okay, so photographers will often use a wide-angle lens.
Mm-hmm.
And really and truly, they're trying to get, with that picture, as much of the room in as
sure.
you can. That's why I would advise people, when you're looking online, take a look at those pictures. I personally don't have a problem with a wide-angle lens. I think that's smart. You're capturing more of that room. But look at it in conjunction with the room measurements, because the listings have room measurements.
Right.
So that brings you back down to reality.
Sure.
You know, hopefully the room measurements are accurate as well, or close to being accurate. So, yeah, keep in mind to do that. What do you think about those 360-degree pictures where where you just it just slowly spins around so you can see the entire room? What do you think when you look at that?
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a good perspective. Again, you know, before you make a decision to go look at the house, it kind of gives you an overall picture. I especially like when the exterior ones. So maybe,
you can see the neighborhood.
Yeah, so they might take the perspective from the front porch and they pan around the whole yard. That is really interesting to see that.
Yeah, there's definitely views that warrant that kind of photography more than others. Now, when I think about that, I think about a few things. I think about the music that goes along. I mean, I sort of like that elevator sort of, you know.
I find it hokey sometimes. Yeah. It kind of distracts me from what, you know, I think is a personal opinion.
Yeah, it just puts me in a good place. But a lot of these sites, when you go on, you have the ability to shut that off or leave it on.
Yeah.
And what do you think about a narrative if somebody is actually, as you're going through the house, the realtor is saying, okay, now we're entering the kitchen. Take note of the granite countertops and the stainless steel appliances, blah, blah, blah. Do you like that narrative?
I think it certain houses, that's a good thing to have, especially if there's some historical facts about the house or some some interesting things that need to be pointed out about the house, some extras that maybe you don't catch right away by looking at it. And then that would make you think, okay, remember to check that out when I actually physically see the property.
Mm-hmm. I've also seen, when I think about that 360, it's a very slow pan around.
Yeah.
And I think of the whole virtual tour experience where you get maybe two or three of these 360-degree pans, and then you, any particular room, like a key principal room, you might get three, four, five different shots, different angles. And I've heard people say, isn't that overkill? Aren't we seeing this home too much? What do you think about that?
I have found myself sometimes skipping through because there just seems to be too much of that same room. It's like, okay, I've seen that now. Let's move on to the next room. I think it's a personal sort of preference.
I would challenge that as well, because you're likely just interested in a particular listing and looking at that listing, and you want to summarize it in a nutshell what that house is like. But what about if you're looking at it and you're ready to drop $300,000 or $400,000?
Well, yes. So
can you get too many pictures then?
No, you're right. So most of them I look at are not for the purpose of buying. It's for my business, checking out listings that clients potentially are buying. And so, yeah, I'm looking at it with a different perspective.
Yeah. So I think they need to be there. I think all the information you can get, because I know from people, buyers I work with, they've never been in the house, but they are just trying to eat up as much information as they can. Now, especially if the house doesn't have a floor plan attached to it, mm-hmm. they're trying to get in their mind exactly what that floor plan looks like. And they're mentally walking through that house and almost trying to see what it'd be like to live in before they actually get there. Because when we finally get there, I'll hear comments like, oh, this is exactly how I thought this was. This is exactly where I thought this room was. Or the opposite. Oh, I had no idea. And maybe they really don't like it. They might say, oh, that's awful. I didn't know that you walked in the door and boom, there you were into whatever room.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and I think afterwards, you know, if you're going out looking at several properties, then when you go home, you can revisit that virtual tour online and try and remember some of the details, because you tend to get overwhelmed by everything. And I know when we were looking at homes, sometimes we'd say, well, what was the flooring like in that particular home? Or you know, where was this in the house? And it's handy to have that after the fact as well.
Trying to remember back. And I mean, good lighting. You need good lighting for the pictures. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a lot of natural, if you don't have a lot of windows lighting and natural lighting, you need to get those lights on. Well, and the photographer even likes the lights on when there is natural lighting, I find.
Yes, it seems to be the case. Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing worse than looking at pictures of a home and it looks dark and gloomy, right? Who wants to live in that?
And the issue is not just with pictures that are showing maybe better than the home shows in real life, but we get the opposite end too. Sometimes you get listings and you go, you take a look at it and you think, you know what? No need to go in there.
Yeah, we did that with one of the homes which ended up being our most favorite home we've lived in.
Oh, the home we bought. Yeah.
Yeah, you looked at the listing, or back then, I guess it was the book. Was it when we had the books?
That's way back when we were not 31 years and 2 days married.
And the realtor had presented some homes, and you looked at just the exterior picture, and you said, no, I'm not interested in looking at that house. And I said, well, we should just, you know, we'll be in the area. We should just drop in. It didn't look that attractive from the outside. You know, there wasn't a lot of landscaping. Mm-hmm. And then we go and we get in the house and we're like, we love this place. So we could have discounted that house just based on the picture.
Exactly. Well, those are some thoughts on visual marketing, especially that virtual staging. I find interesting. I don't know if I find it interesting that I would make it part of what I do. I would just as soon have the actual staging so mm-hmm. that potential buyers could actually walk through stage rooms and start to feel at home instead of being surprised at seeing all those empty walls and floors. Next thing I wanted to talk about, Carol Ann, is where are you getting your real estate advice or your real estate counsel?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think in your business, mm-hmm. in the mortgage brokering business,
right?
What do you think when a client gives you a call or comes to you and they're already telling you how the financing is going to work out based on the counsel and advice of their realtor?
Uh-oh.
A heavy.
Well, and that has happened to me several times. I don't like it, obviously.
Well, would you mind it if it was right?
No. Quite often it's not correct, though.
Yeah.
I think it's, they're well-meaning. But perhaps if that realtor has their mortgage agent license or mortgage broker license, then they actually are giving up-to-date, valid advice. Most often what is presented to me is incorrect information. And then I have to now battle that incorrect information and try and steer them in the right direction.
Undo the false hopes. And
exactly.
And then you get to start where you should have started off.
Yeah.
Well, the exact same thing happens in real estate, obviously. And quite often, buyers and sellers are getting advice from neighbors, friends, family. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, same with the realtors giving mortgage counsel, we get these neighbors, friends, family members who are trying to just give good advice.
Well-intentioned
advice, and it just doesn't always work. I think of one case comes to the top of mind whenever I think of this, and I think of this couple, and they're an older couple, and the home and the yard was just far larger than what they needed anymore, and health issues, they wanted to get close to hospital, to doctors, to bus routes, and they called me to list their home. Well, I took a look at their place, I went back to the office, and then I started doing the work. And when I did that, I realized that they had recently had their home for sale, but it was about $80,000 too high.
Ouch.
Way too high. So, you know what? I realize I'm not going to be a popular guy when I bring the facts in.
No.
So I do the work. I bring the facts in. And you know, they're obviously very disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, folks, does it make sense what I've told you here? You know, when you're looking at this stuff, does it make sense? And they're seeing the actual sold listings. Like, I'm not just writing it down saying, just believe me. Mm-hmm. And I'm showing them the documentation. And it does make sense. Well, they listed within a fairly realistic window. We were at the top of the window.
Sure.
Because, I mean, they
hard
thought
to come down.
It's hard to come down from $80,000 too high.
For sure.
Well, one day after it was listed, I got another call from them and saying, Dale, we got to go up. The neighbor found out what we're selling for and said, you're giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it went up. We went up $20,000 and it never sold. And the listing expired. And a short while later, they brought in another realtor, figuring maybe I just couldn't sell their home.
Right.
And it had nothing to do with price. And that realtor couldn't sell their home. Well, I just, you know, for curiosity, this is years and years later, I just took a quick look last night and this poor couple still owns the home they don't want to be in many years later. And thank you, neighbor, you know?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's definitely a tough one.
I think it's even tougher to, when you have parents that are giving advice to their children buying a home.
Okay.
That's
a biggie.
That's a doozy.
Let's get into that a little bit after this break. You've been listening to Reality Realty Northumberland, 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. Join us after this break, and we will continue to talk about where do you get your real estate advice from. Welcome back. This is your real estate forum, Northumberland, 89.7 FM's Reality Realty with Dale Bryant. And my guest today, Carol Ann Bryant, mortgage broker with the Broker Financial Group. Not my guest today, my co-host today.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, get the title right.
Pay raise. Yeah. So, Carol Ann, before the break, we were talking a little bit about who's giving your advice, your real estate advice. Where is that coming from? And how much can you really trust it when so much is at stake? I mean, right. this is a purchase, mm-hmm. Possibly the biggest purchase you ever make, or the sale of the biggest thing you've ever invested in. So key to get it right. You started to mention about when parents get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What were you saying?
That's
about
a
that?
Very delicate situation. Yeah. As a realtor, you have to tread very, very carefully, I'm sure. I mean, parents have experienced mm-hmm. likely home ownership.
Yeah.
They obviously want the best for their children. And I'm sure you've had situations where parents have been quite involved in the transaction. And maybe they're contributing some money towards the down payment.
And then their say becomes even more strong. And you know what? I totally welcome and encourage parents to get involved. I prefer if parents get involved right from the get-go. If they're mm-hmm. going to be instrumental, especially with a young couple, first-time home buyers, I love it when the parents get involved early. So that they get an idea of the market values that are going on. Mm-hmm. Because when you just bring them in at the very end, you've maybe for weeks or months been shopping for the right home and the right price. Finally, you find it. Now you bring mom and dad in. And they really feel a responsibility, a heaviness to give you the best counsel.
Absolutely.
The best counsel financially, the best counsel as if you're the mortgage broker, as if you're the home inspector, mm-hmm. as if you're the realtor. And I mean, that's a whole lot. And what parent wouldn't want to? But if they haven't seen everything else and they haven't got a feel of the market, it's very difficult. So I love it when parents get involved. Especially when they get involved from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And then everybody arrives at the same place at the same time. But having that experience, having that set of eyes, extra set of eyes there is fantastic. Now, you know, I was talking a little bit about when advice can go wrong from mm-hmm. friend, family, neighbor, coworker. But it can even go wrong from a professional, say from a lawyer or an accountant. I mean, there you have a very well-educated person, mm-hmm. and you have someone who's a professional and can be trusted. Maybe even that professional is an investor and has several properties of their own. But still, when it comes to real estate values, I would still say be careful, because does that professional lawyer or accountant, do they actually really know the average selling price of that type of real estate in that area right now? Mm-hmm. Do they know the ratio or percentage of the average sale price to the listing price? Do they know the absorption rate? I mean, do they just get an idea? Do they think, oh, I think this is a buyer's market or a seller's market? Because really and truly, how do you know the difference between a 14% absorption rate balanced market and a 17% absorption rate, I mean, balanced market and a 17% absorption rate seller's market? I mean, you gotta be pretty sensitive just to feel that.
Yeah, I think it comes down to that. You know, we all have our area of expertise, mm-hmm. and you need to rely on the experts for their particular expertise. Taking what other people say into account as well,
mm-hmm.
but it really comes down to you as the buyer. Buyer beware, right? You need to be comfortable with the situation yourself, with the decisions you make yourself. The worst thing would be to purchase a home based on the advice of other people, move in there and be, oh my goodness, what have I done? Why didn't I listen to my realtor who knew this was maybe priced a little too high, this house? Or you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. I think of one case. I was representing someone selling some vacant land, and it was a good chunk of land. I think it was in the 40, 50 acre mm-hmm. amount. And it was being sold for fairly cheap. Our listing price was very, very attractive. And a buyer came in, and the buyer offered less than the ask price, and it got accepted. There was a little bit of back and forth, and there was an accepted price. But then the buyer found out something during their condition time. They had a due diligence condition, and during that time, they found out a little something else. And then they went back to the seller looking for just a small amount of money off. It was another maybe $2,500, $5,000, a small amount of money off because of what they discovered. And I remember talking to the lawyer who's representing my seller. And the lawyer on the phone was talking to me and sounded a little disgusted and just was put off and said, you know, what's going on here that they're trying to lower the price again when at this price for this many acres, they're already stealing it. It's already well below market value. And I said to the lawyer, I said, well, have you ever been to the property? No, I haven't been, but I can see here is so many acres, so much frontage, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, did you know that most of that property is wetland and environmentally controlled? You'll never be able to build on it. And that there was something like 6 acres out of that 40, 50 that was usable. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, he said, I didn't.
Right.
So, I mean, he was talking to me. Had he been talking to the seller and said something like that, the seller might have thought, yeah, he is stealing it. Mm-hmm. And now this is a number of years ago. That seller may still be owning that property.
Could be, instead yes.
And sure enough, I mean, that property I'm thinking of, there's nothing built on it all these years later. It's still sitting there the way it was when it was sold. So, I mean, there's so much to take into consideration. So, yeah, even a very well-educated, well-meaning professional like that, you know, you still need to get the facts from the professionals in that exact industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a little bit of a controversial, maybe a little bit, maybe a lot of bit, controversial thought here. You're working with a realtor. Okay, so now your advice is coming from a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just, what's your gut feeling from living with a realtor? Can you just trust all of that from every realtor in every situation? All right, don't
what,
answer
what
it.
Are you asking don't me? Answer. Can you trust the okay. realtors?
Because I mentioned this on one show before. It was on A Points to Ponder. I was handed a card from a realtor weeks and weeks and weeks ago. And it's a Toronto realtor. And they handed me their card. And it said in the biggest font on the entire business card, all in caps, now servicing Northumberland.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay. So I looked them up. And they're not a member of our board. They do not have access to all the board information. So how can you properly service a community if you don't have all the information, all the archives of what's happened in the real estate? That's what we
you
use.
You cannot, yes.
And I mean, yes, they're a member of TREB. And so they would, a number of us realtors here in Northumberland County are also members of TREB. So we do put we'll put all our listings on TREB. So some listings are available to this realtor. But if you're dealing with this person and on there, I mean, you can print anything you want on a business card.
Right.
And somebody gets this. Are you even getting full counsel and good advice? And I won't force you to say it, but I'm going to say no. I'm going to say unless they're members, there's a good chance you're not getting it. And
well, that's misleading that card in a way because
I'd
you would think that person is an expert in the area, and they're not. But as a buyer or a seller, I think you have to think of questions when you're interviewing realtors I'm not sure the general public is necessarily aware of how that whole system works. That I know I've had clients before that I've said to them, well, you know, is your house listed on the Northumberland board? that's important because you want to make sure that the people that live in your area or the realtors who are in the area.
It's not the people. The people can see it on realtor.ca all the time.
But the realtors need to be aware that your house is for sale. So that's somewhat misleading.
Here's another thing. And this is likely controversial to mention, but I'm going to say it because it's true. And I'm actually going to make it part in 4 weeks. 4 weeks from now, we're going to make it part of a show on just real estate practices you should want to be aware of.
Yes.
But that's what I'm referring to is you have a realtor, you have a local realtor, and maybe you've told that realtor or they get a sense that you're interviewing a couple realtors to see who's going to list your home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, us realtors know that you are going to be influenced by price.
Absolutely.
You're going to be influenced by price. So there is a thing in our industry called buying a listing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when the realtor gives you an inflated price on your home. So you pick that realtor to represent you in the sale of your home. You don't pick the person necessarily that gave you an accurate valuation because you found the realtor that really believes in your home and they're going to be able to sell it for more money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's called buying a listing, and that realtor eventually deals with the letdown of nobody's buying it for that, and they get the price adjusted possibly later on, but they're the ones that get the sale.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much more to be said about that, and that's going to be part of another show. So just a little cliffhanger there, folks.
Yeah, that'll be a good topic.
That'll be a good topic, controversial topic. Anyways, Caroline, we're at the end of our show. Thank you very much for joining me. And thank you for doing the Points to Ponder today with the five C's of credit. If somebody is interested in getting a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
They can call me at 289-251-2948, which is my cell phone. That's the best way to reach me because if I'm not in the office, my office number will ring through to my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can also check me out on the internet, www.mortgagesthatwork.ca.
All right. Well, next week, folks, we'll have Megan Adams, lawyer at Third Street Law, talking about frequently asked questions during a real estate transaction. The week after, we'll have interior designer Sherry Wright from House of a Sell. And the week after that, February 25th, we'll have Dave Smith back, Dave's certified home inspector. And I'm hoping he's going to talk about home inspection services you might not think of. Anyways, if you have any questions or comments about today's show or pertaining to any real estate, feel free to contact me, Dale Bryant, by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca or call into the station at 905-372-2391 and leave a message for me. Thank you again, Carol Ann, for joining me. And folks, don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant, active real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon. For Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Until next week.